tonight, FAU Tennessee. So pretty good slate of games. About 24 hours from now, San Diego State will be inside of the Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we find Pat Forty. Pat Forty covers college athletics and horse racing and all sorts of fun stuff. He's a senior writer with Sports Illustrated. He's the co-host of the College Football Inquirer podcast, which I listened to today because it was all about college basketball. And I wanted to hear what Pat Forty said about Rick Pitino at my alma mater. I got a chuckle out of that one. Pat Forty joining us on San Diego Sports 760. Pat, Darren Smith, thank you very much.
Hey, happy to be on with you. Happy March to you.
Happy March to you as well. I enjoyed the commentary today about Alabama, and I knew you would have something special for Rick Pitino going to St. John's, so thank you for that.
Hey, well, you know, Rick never ceases to amaze, that's for sure. He's a one-of-a-kind character.
Runs a clean program, though.
Yeah, oh, that's what he says. Just ask him.
Yeah, I know. I just want to see the banner.
Yeah, I'm outside the Yum Center right this minute, and I can confirm there is no championship banner hanging in those rafters, despite his biggest protestations of running a clean program.
Yeah, I just want to see whatever banner he wins at my alma mater before they have to take it down inevitably, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, keep it as long as you can.
You guys did a lot on University of Alabama, and you know, I grant that maybe the audience wants to hear about stuff that's happening on the court, but I thought it was really interesting, Pat, you and Dan, that you guys talked a lot about what was going on with Alabama basketball. Would you mind, you know, if people are interested, they should listen to the podcast, but you know, you guys sort of separated a little bit of fact from fiction and some of the propaganda coming out of Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated story. It's, you know, there are a bunch of layers to it. But the bottom line is, you know, there is still, it's hard to spin away where Alabama hasn't just been awfully derelict in terms of how it's handled Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley, who's less prominent, but also a member of the team, for their involvement in the night of the fatal shooting. You know, which their now former teammate Darius Miles has been charged with capital murder. And, you know, Brandon Miller, despite all of the attempts to kind of minimize his role, he did drive the gun to the scene at the request of Darius Miles. And, you know, whether he saw the text message or not doesn't really matter. And especially if you go into the detail of that night where he didn't go there to pick up his friends and turn around and leave. They stayed. Somebody died, and Alabama has just played on as if none of that really matters.
Who ultimately, whose decision is it? Somebody earlier asked, is this really up to the basketball coach? Is this up to the athletic director? And you know, people pointed out if this were Saban, and Saban's had an interesting week in some of the stuff that he says, but who ultimately is responsible for the decisions as to who plays for the program?
Well, I mean, you know, this really should stop. The buck should stop at the president's desk. And the president has been absolutely 100% silent. Nobody's heard from Stuart Bell on this issue, which is fairly amazing to me. The athletic director, Greg Byrne, has had a little bit to say. Not much of it very useful. I think it starts with Nate Oates, and nobody's overruled Nate Oates as far as what he wanted from the get-go, which was for his players to remain in the lineup. And so, whether that's weak leadership above him or not, I think it starts from him and trickles upward.
Anything, what did you read in the Nick Saban using those words that we heard from Nate Oates about, you know, be wrong place, wrong time? You're never in the wrong place at the wrong time. I know Nick backtracked a little bit today, said he was just saying what he was saying. Did you read anything more into it?
I find that hard to believe, frankly.
Yep.
I mean, that would be an astounding coincidence for Nick Saban to use the exact infamous words that Nate Oates used that got him in so much trouble and created so much controversy, and for him to, you know, go on from there talking about the choices you make about who you hang around and what you do, and for him to suspend his player, and for there have been no suspensions for Brandon Miller, who has not been charged with a crime, but still was party to this whole incident. They can all say that this was completely unrelated, but I just have a hard time believing it, frankly.
One of our colleagues was at the press conferences today and was sending me a couple of notes and said a lot of the questions to Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, was about this. I don't know that, Pat, you were or weren't there, but was it basketball today or was it something different?
I was there, and I've been to every Alabama press conference for their last five games now because I covered the SEC tournament and them last week. And we've all kind of followed a similar rhythm and dance here. You know, there's a lot of uncomfortable questions being asked about what happened and school policies regarding guns and things of that nature. And the answers have been fairly canned and very guarded. You know, they have about four stock sentences that are repeated by Oates or the players. And, you know, they're just not going to deviate from that. There was one interesting question about whether or not Alabama is having fun. And the answer, you know, Oates started off by saying, "We're having a blast." And then he kind of seemed to catch himself to a degree and think, Maybe a blast isn't the right word, and he, you know, fumbled back into the comfortable territory of we've never lost sight of how serious this is and all that sort of thing. But I think they are just trying to fake all the rhetoric they have to until this tournament ends one way or the other for them.
They're very good. They're a very good team, top team in the tournament, as everybody knows. San Diego State certainly has its work cut out for them. I read plenty of prediction pieces out there. I know Aztec fans are chomping at the bit. You know, they're just ready to launch attacks on people who have picked against the Aztecs. How dare they? If the Aztecs are going to be successful against Alabama, though, Pat, how do you see them doing that? What do they have to do? What has to happen there?
Yeah, tempo is just going to be extremely important. They need to play at a much slower pace than Alabama wants to play. And one thing Oates has said that's true, having seen them a bunch this year, is defensively, they're fine playing slow. You know, they will not, like, gamble and press to try to make sure the game goes up and down. They'll sit down in a half-court game defensively, but then if they get a rebound, that's when they want to fly. And so if you're San Diego State, you just got to get back in transition and not let them get up good shots within the first 5 to 10 seconds of the shot clock, because that's their goal. So if you can slow them down at that end, slow them in transition, or at least just match up, get in people's faces, get hands up on three-point shooters and stop drives, then I think you have a chance of playing a game in the 50s or 60s, which is obviously much more San Diego State's liking. I like a couple of things from San Diego State's standpoint. I like the experience, and I like the fact that they can play a physical style. You know, I have a very hard time seeing San Diego State being able to score inside. They're not that good at it, and Alabama is phenomenal defensively inside. Charles Bediako kind of anchors the interior defense there, and they're just tough to get to the basket against successfully. So they're going to have to make some shots. They're going to have to probably make a lot of shots, maybe more than they're accustomed to from the outside, but I think that's their path to keeping this thing close.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least surprised, 10 being the most surprised, where would it rank for Pat Forty if San Diego State pulls off the upset tomorrow?
It would be an 8, I would say. I would be pretty darn surprised. Not impossible. You know, it's not a 116 game by any stretch. San Diego State's a legitimately good team, but I just think Alabama's by far the best team in the tournament.
And, Pat, any advice for any of our listeners, anybody out there who's traveling to go see the Aztecs play tomorrow? You're from Louisville, not from there, but you live in Louisville. You know the city very well. I don't suspect that you'll be recommending Porcini's Italian Restaurant. That's the Patino place, everybody, in case you didn't know that one. What do you recommend for people to do?
A lot of great bourbon bars in downtown Louisville. You can do the Urban Bourbon Trail, too. You know, go to a distillery and get kind of the tour and sample some of that. There is some good barbecue to be had here. You can find it. This is a surprisingly good food town in general. A lot of good restaurants here. So the weather, I think, is looking pretty good. So it's not San Diego weather, but it'll pass. So tell the folks to come out and have order themselves a Woodford Reserve on a big rock and enjoy themselves.
Pat Forty, we appreciate it. Senior writer, Sports Illustrated, co-host of the College Football Inquirer podcast. Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. Pat Forty, everybody who's there from Louisville. Again, and you know, you all can add him to the list of people who you'll attack on social media when San Diego State pulls the upset
tomorrow. The list. Who's keeping
Jay
the
Billis
list?
Jay Billis is on the list.
Oh, is that right?
Has anybody anywhere, has anybody seen anybody pick San Diego State?
I have not.
That's an important thing.
I have not seen it yet.
Besides John?
Schaefer.
But we need to go with somebody.
You? Are you picking the Aztec? Are you picking the Aztecs as an Aztec?
I have no. I don't know yet. Ask me tomorrow. Okay. Ask the tips.
JREF.
Ask me tomorrow at 3. Ask me tomorrow at 3:29.
JREF does not want me to come to him.
I think a lot of people had San Diego State national and locally had them into the Sweet 16. I don't know many people have State getting past the presumed best team in the country.
I think once Virginia lost, people had San Diego State in the Sweet 16. I don't know if before that first round loss to Furman, if the national narrative was trending towards San Diego State making it to the Sweet 16.
Virginia can get picked off too now. They got picked off as a one. So
100%.
Yeah. I didn't feel like that was that out on the limb.
No, but I don't think that, I think that that really helped people's perspectives on this team.
Now, I'm in a room with two Aztecs, Marty Caswell to my right, and making his return to the iHeart studios of San Diego Sports 760 is our friend Steve Garcia from the Emo Brown podcast, from Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista, who's often referred to as one of the most important people in South Bay.
Wow.
You continue to put a price on my head, Darren. Just let me be from Chula Vista, bud.
I'm just reading the way it's been reported on several reputable news outlets around town.
The Star News.
You are one of the most influential people in South Bay.
I'm just happy to be in your presence.
We're happy to be in your presence.
Thank you,
welcome
bud.
Back. Why
Thank
are you two Aztecs sitting here in studio instead of doing what Pat Forty suggested there, where you go and find some bourbon and put it on a rock?
Mm-hmm. Dude, that urban bourbon trail, though.
The urban bourbon trail.
I'm about that. How do I get out there? I need to get on that.
You know, you got
to
connect probably through Vegas or Phoenix, but you're an Aztec.
Thousand,
you could have been out there.
It was $1,000. I looked it up. It was $1,000 flight, and I went to the last Sweet 16. I followed the team all the way through. It was Spokane, right? That's where I went. Yeah, so I've done it.
Sweet 16 last time was Anaheim.
No. I mean the start of the tournament.
Oh.
Was.
Oh, that's. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. You've traveled, but you don't want to connect.
I'm still paying for that.
That's a direct flight, though.
That's where you draw the line.
I'm still paying for that.
Yeah.
You could $1,000 to head out to Louisville.
Oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, my dude.
Oh, twice in a lifetime.
Come on, you went to Manchester for Manchester United?
Dude, I had to spend the last weekend explaining to Wifey why we have round-trip tickets to TF to Mexico City for the Padres-Giants series next month. Man.
You're on board with that, too?
Oh, yeah, I'm all in.
Does that come with your season ticket package?
No. I saw it on there, and it was some questions were asked. I was like, hey, what's going on here? But no, we had to buy everything.
How many tickets did you buy?
We have four tickets.
Four tickets four to Mexico tickets. City.
Yeah. Wait, how much? For? Can I ask how much the tickets were?
I want to say each ticket round-trip was about $250.
Oh, the flights are really good. I meant the game tickets.
Oh, game tickets. We got them right when they came out. So they're like $60. That was it.
That's it. They're going for a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And all four are accounted for?
Yeah. Everyone, you can sneak on. I can always take my top tier white with me, man.
I am the top tier. I have been called the top tier white by one of the most important people in South Bay. Now, you also have two season tickets to Petco Park.
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm not selling them the opening day. I've been approached many times now to sell that. I hear it's at over $250 per ticket for opening day.
Okay. That's it? That feels light, actually.
I've never sold my opening day tickets.
Who are you going with?
Usually just my brother-in-law. We've tried to go with the whole family. I've taken Wifey. We've gotten on a sick one, which in the streets means you've drank a little too much.
Right.
You know, you've taken it a little past the barometer. So now it's just my brother-in-law and myself, and hey, it's Petco. You're going to run into about 50 other people that you know. You're going to hang out, and that's a wrap. Where do you go? Do you go to opening day?
This isn't getting me invited to opening day, then.
Oh, I'll party with you at a bottle rocket before.
No. I want to say you have to. I want to know how he gets away with it, by the way. He's got three kids and two season tickets. How does that? What do you make your kids fight to who goes to the game?
I've been telling you this for years because you're your only child, but every parent has a favorite.
Oh,
and they can say what you can say what you want to say. It's not even. I know this for a fact.
I'll take it a step further, Marty.
Yeah.
Wifey and I have park passes, or Disneyland annual passes, rather.
Right.
Our kids have not sniffed Disneyland in over 5 years, and they will not sniff Disneyland.
Yeah, because it's the
because
which
it's,
one.
Oh,
which one
I see
have.
The look of disarray and hate and anger by other parents taking their kids along. And we just look back now and I'm like, oh, that used to be us, but our kids will not see Disneyland for a few more years. They're not going to appreciate it. They're still young. They're little. I get so much hate online for that, but I'll ride
How
with
old
it.
Are your kids?
10, 8, and 5.
Okay, would you ever...
Perfect age for Disney.
Well, no, 10 is. Now, would you... Because I see this all the time. Would you ever put your kid on a leash at Disneyland?
I wouldn't, but my mom put my nephew on a leash and I said, you better not do that. What are you doing? I said, just keep a better eye on that kid. What are you doing?
Actual leash? Like harness?
Like
I mean,
kid,
it's
like
decorated.
Leash. Right.
It's got
kids.
Like a little cute frog on it. Yeah. You know, they tried to decorate it and make it look very presentable and acceptable. I was like, there's no place that you could put a kid on a leash. And she's like, at the mall, you have to. This little kid runs everywhere.
I was just returning home on a flight. I was listening. As a matter of fact, the Emo Brown podcast, you interviewed Alejandro Guido of San Diego Loyal, which is phenomenal. Yes. I've known Guido for 10 years. I never heard him that way. You opened him. You got him to open up, man. He said a lot of cuss words too.
I put that clam in hot water and that shell just cracked, man. I mean, and I hit him up. I hit him up with, would you like a drink? No. Would you like this? No. Would you like that? No, man. All of my vices. They,
this and that. I
nothing,
wonder what
bro.
This and that was.
Yeah.
Exactly, bro. He's in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
he can't be
yeah.
doing that
but,
stuff.
You know, he's from Chula Vista. So I hit him up and no, nothing. And then after a few minutes, I just kind of goaded him. Hey, why did you get a red card last season? Why did you not open? And blah, blah, blah. And then he got heated and he just started seeing his personality come out. I was like, oh, there's the Chula Vista guy I know. Cool, down to earth, very top notch guy. After our podcast, the following week he went and he started reading books to elementary school kids. Right. I was like, that's my guy.
That's the Guido I know.
That's my guy.
The Guido who was dropping the F word every other word on the Emo Brown podcast to me. I was like, where's that guy been for the last decade?
Don't make me release the unreleased tapes, Darren. I've got a few on you, my
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. That's usually what happens
was
to me.
Was he oiled up and in short shorts?
No, good short question. Shorts. None. I asked him about the origin, and I guess it has to do with Ben Gay and getting a little too close to the nether regions and burning. So he says, no more. I roll up. And I tuck everything in, and I run free like a gazelle. I said, good on you, Guido.
And he looked good, too, this past weekend. You went to the Loyal match, didn't you?
I did take
Marty
my
Marty went to her first one, the opener.
Heck yeah. Nice.
My did you find parking?
Yes. There's a...
Come on, a guy like this, he's
no,
got
he
a parking
tweeted,
permit.
He tweeted and asked for parking yeah. recommendations.
And then, oh, man, I don't want to burn my plug out. But as soon as I tweeted that, 2 seconds later, Ricardo sent me a text, and he sent me an image of a parking pass. And I was like, what's this? And he's like, oh, this is for the building right next to the stadium. So I was like, yeah, buddy. So I have to go and tweet more things more often, you know? Great experience.
Very powerful tool.
Yeah. Oh, his name is Ricardo. He's not a tool.
Especially
a good
one
guy.
One of the most powerful people in South Bay. You should have parking passes.
I should have season passes, and that's what I'm working on. That I took true. My kids. They went to this. We do take our kids out. They just don't go to Disneyland. They love the match. They love the experience. They love the snacks. It was a good time. They were on it, man. They were leaning over the rail. Just yeah, they heard me yelling, so they started yelling, Phoenix, you're horrible, whatever. And I was like, that's my boys. Those are my boys.
And that doesn't make them Jones then to want to go to opening day next week?
They don't even know it's opening day next week.
Your kids aren't Padre fans?
Yes, but they don't know what's going on, man. They thought the WBC was the already regular season.
Felt like it, though.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
It's great,
What
man.
Are people whining about?
You tell me, man. It's not my demographic that's whining, I'll tell you that much.
You really? What demographic is it?
Yours.
Media?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think
yeah,
Mad Dog was on top of that list, and what, Smoltzy and all those guys. Man, this is perfect. This is what the game needs. People ask, why is it dying? Why is it not attracting or appealing to the younger generation? Hello? Have you gone to a game in Mexico? Have you gone to a game at Toros?
I've not gone to Toros. I know you have.
But. It's amazing. We went to a match, Dodgers, Padres, Monterrey, a couple years ago. Amazing. It was a party from the first pitch to the last pitch to an hour and a half after the pitch, last pitch. Mm. Everyone's just drinking, partying, having a good time. I expect a lot of the same when we go down to Mexico City next month to watch and play the Giants.
Should be a blast. Yeah. Looking forward to it. How are you feeling about your Padres this year?
I'm a Padre. I'm a San Diego fan. I'm a San Diego sports fan.
I know.
Everything is tempered.
Got a Padre hat on.
Yeah, everything's got to
so
be.
So you're waiting for some banana peel somewhere down the road.
Todo con medida, Darren. All within measure. Everything within reason. You know, it's like I'm not going to get out of hand on anything, but tell me this isn't the most exciting lineup we've had in ever. You know, top 1 through 4, and now Crony hitting fifth. I'm like, oof, let's go, man. I'm ready.
Where are you on Tatis?
Let's go.
Ready to go?
That was never off it. You
nothing.
Know?
I know you were not. Yeah. You were right from Jump Street on that one. You were.
I have a list of people who were off it hard, really hard on Tatis. Oh, this, that, bad for the game. And I'm just waiting for him to hit a couple of jacks in the first series. And then all of a sudden, they're going to be bringing out their Tatis jerseys from the storage, you know? Mm-hmm. We all know those guys.
They were never put in storage. They were never put in storage.
They were on social media allegedly.
Yeah, because social media is real life.
Yeah.
I believe that less than 5% of what people say and how they act on social media translates to real life. And if you walked around FanFest at Petco Park, you're like among the 80,000 whatever people that cycled in and out, man. It was Machado Tatis. That's what you saw. That was it. They did not put them away.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome to see Musgrove jerseys making that hard push now for like the solid number 3 jersey. Because it's always been Machado and Tatis. But now I see Musgrove jerseys everywhere. And I'm like, local boy, we have to rep that guy hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the market, I think, in consideration for a Bogarts jersey.
All of a sudden.
It's my dude.
All of a sudden.
You know me, my wheels are turning here. I'm just thinking about, you know, what's next for all of us. What is next for all of us? You know, Bar Bogarts. Doesn't have a nice ring to it?
Why wouldn't it be? That's a great name.
Dude, he's right across the bay from Chula Vista.
Oh, man.
I've heard he lives in the Coronado Caves.
That's a clever way of calling it across the bay from Chula Vista. Coronado. Where do you live? Just across the bay from Chula Vista.
You can paddleboard right across. We've built a Padre Navy. No joke. Machado's over there. Right. Soto's over there. Mm-hmm. Bogarts is over
Orsillo's
there.
Over there.
Don Orsillo. I'm told that there's actually a Padre Navy that is being worked on right now, that these guys might just take the ships in from Coronado, from the Coronado case.
Why not?
So if we go to war, are these guys going to ship out like Ted Williams?
Probably not. Probably not. But war against the Dodgers? I think that, yes, they probably will be on the ships making their way across the bay, right past Chula Vista, up to National City, into downtown San Diego.
What a pro.
Look at me. That's how you make a transition. All right, I have a very controversial topic.
Oh, no.
Steve Garcia, Three Punk Yells, Chula Vista, Emo Brown Podcast, Emo Brown Foundation, which we'll talk about. Are we bike riding on Sunday?
What Sunday? You know what? The foundation leads to the bike ride. We're going to be out serving beers at Snapdragon for our foundation on Sunday. That's for the America Cholos match. So no, man.
That's this Sunday?
That's this Sunday.
So we have Wave Saturday night.
We'll be there as well.
Cholos and Club America's Sunday?
That is correct.
Oh.
March just flew by, bro.
Do you have tickets for that?
I'm going to be serving. So, yes, I do have tickets. We made sure to load up on the volunteers.
All right. Let's get to our controversy when we return. I'll have to pull some strings and see what... I didn't realize that was this week.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's a lot of soccer happening this weekend.
Not complaining, my man.
Not complaining
never
at all.
That. Never.
All right. You also are hosting a comedy show. I want to talk to you about that.
Man. And I got about that now or what?
Oh. We'll do that when we return. All New San Diego Sports 760. The award show for fans is back. Let's celebrate. The iHeartRadio Awards are coming to Fox on March 27th. With you to the top of the hour. No John and Jim, no Fusion. Going straight to the NCAA tournament coming up at the top of the hour. Tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting live from Alesmith, the official craft brewery of San Diego State University. So we'll see you there starting at 12 o'clock, take you to 2:30. You're a big fan of Alesmith. I know you guys in the brewing community are pretty tight most of the time.
We love everybody.
Really?
Alesmith, yeah, they're good people, man. They pretty much put the blueprint down for smaller breweries like us to make it happen.
Peter Zion, is that his name?
Yeah. I've met him and his wife. They do well in the community. They always give back. They're good people.
What do you mean
and
they put down the blueprint?
What's that?
What does that mean, they put down the blueprint?
I think they kind of like paved the way for smaller breweries to figure it out and do it our way. I mean, they're a mid-tier brewery. Mm-hmm. They're not like one of the bigger ones, but boy, do they pack a punch. So it's like you can do a lot. If you're not a Stone, if you're not Carl Strauss or Coronado or something that's that size. So I'm a big fan of Alesmith.
You've done some collaborations. We collaborated on a beer once upon a time for the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. Man. I want to run it back. We should make it show related or something. What's it like, though, when you are called upon to do a collaboration like those guys did with San Diego State?
It's an awesome feeling, man. And it all depends on
who. Or Tony Gwynn, the 394, right?
Yeah, man. That's bananas. I mean, it all depends on who's asking. You know, we get a lot of requests to collaborate with
them. Really?
Oh, yeah. More so now, we're pushing year six, beating an operation, and we went from the first 3 years not really getting much attention from collabs, and I feel like the last year, it's like it pitched a collab every week, and most of them are pretty cool. So be on the lookout for a nice little loyal collab, perhaps.
Oh, really?
Maybe, perhaps.
I did not know this. Tal this is breaking news.
Yeah, tal vez. It should be a good one. Hmm. So we're working on it. We're hammering out the label graphic deal right now and seeing what we can make work. We have a killer graphic designer named Chicle who does all of our artwork. So I ran that by Ricardo and he was on board. So it looks like we're full steam ahead on that.
I love that idea. I'm really looking forward to that. And it's going to be called Loyal, Leal.
We don't
go
even
in English,
yet.
We go in Spanish. Yeah, I know sometimes both? We go back and forth on this.
Why not both? We'll see.
Come I mean, on, compa honesty, Esteban.
Hey, compa Esteban. Compa Darren. Yeah, I want to run back Golsh, man. Right. Loyal is an awesome one as well, but Golsh. That one, we got to bring Jordan back around for that. That'll be a killer collab.
Once it finally gets warm, we can run that one back. Because mm-hmm. that was definitely a warm weather drink.
Yeah, it's
beer.
A Kolsch. So it's a very lighthearted German-style beer that quick turnaround time. So it's one of those beers that we can make in about 3 weeks, package and ready to roll.
Third Avenue Chula Vista is where the brewery is. What's going on there today? Of Third Avenue?
Today's Taste of Third Avenue.
I saw
Avenue,
they were out there broadcasting from the brewery at 7 o'clock this morning.
They went up with my partner Kevin, big old Viking, doing his thing. He's very very camera friendly, you know, good looking fella going out. He did his thing and very
you're
proud
you're
of him.
You're the radio personality.
I have a face for radio, respectfully.
He's
there,
the
Darren.
TV guy.
He's my TV guy,
you
man.
You guys covered a lot of bases.
Yeah, and get on down there. You're a South Bay guy. It'd behoove of you if you head Third Avenue today and hit up Taste of Third. They open up all of the restaurants, bars, breweries, everything that is available for pickup. You can go down there and just walk around, get little bites of food, snacks, drinks, and it's a good time to get to know your neighbors down there. You know,
I love it, too. I love it that local news is down there and telling everybody about it as well. It's phenomenal. Who would have imagined that?
We're cool now. Chula Vista's cool now.
It is cool now. Is it weird?
It's cool to be from Chula Vista.
Is it weird?
It is what it is, bro. You know?
Is it weird?
I like seeing people on the block, a lot more people now.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. All right. So you also host a very popular podcast called the Emo Brown Podcast.
Correcto.
A couple of weeks ago, I listened, and I understood about half of it. But you had a bunch of comedians.
Oh, you listened to that one.
Into the warehouse, okay? And these guys are in town. They're performing tomorrow night. You are hosting a comedy show. Have you ever done this before? You're hosting a comedy show tomorrow night. Tell us some of the details.
I've never been funny in my life, let alone hosted.
Fair.
You know?
You're an interesting choice.
Yeah, so tomorrow is going to be weird, my man. I mean, I had him on the podcast. We had a blast. We were just, you know.
Los Tóxicos.
Los Tóxicos, which means the toxics, you know? They came down, and I like to kind of test my mettle against against professional funny guys. And I was like, oh, all right, I'm holding my own. We put a couple reels out. They went viral, and people were really responding to what we did. So along the way, Corazón del Barrio, the homies down there, Ernie and Eric Casas, they own that establishment. They're like, hey, man, do you want to come out and host the 7 and 10 p.m. show? I was like, no.
Two shows.
7 and 10.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Now, how long?
I would say like an hour and a half to 2 hours per show. So I just go out there, and I have to go and introduce everybody, probably crack a joke or two. And then I just kind of let everybody know. It's like, okay, we don't do drugs in this area. We do drugs in the bathroom. You don't, you know, like just kind of like direct people. I'm traffic control, letting people where to do. I'll probably look around the crowd and see, oh, looking Mexicans. We're all wearing our Pendletons, our flannels. Very nice. Looking our Sunday best. So then I get to introduce them, and then I get to sit down and worry about, you know, what did I do? I'm nervous, man. I haven't slept well.
Really?
I'm not lying to you. This is probably... getting married was intense. You know, it's like, oh my God, I got to go in front of all these people and declare my love for my wife, which looking back is easy. Super easy now, you know? But now it's like, oh my God, who are all these people? What if somebody throws something at me? What if somebody starts, you know?
Because you're going to be judged. You're not going to get judged at your wedding.
Oh my God.
Unless, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe actually, yeah,
have you been to a Mexican wedding?
But no, okay. No, I guess not.
Fair. I would be petrified.
Thanks,
I'm not going to lie. Well, it's a different discipline.
Yeah.
Because in here, look at J-Riff. He's on his phone. So I clearly
like
he's not engaged in this conversation.
Who knows
wait.
But if you're up on stage, I have this image of people that are driving around in their cars. They're laughing a little bit. They're like, okay, this is good banter, what have you. But, you know, when you look around and you see a bunch of people on their phone like this dude, that would impact
me. Hold on. I want to defend myself here because I am mesmerized by the Emo Brown shirt that you have on. So I'm actually looking to see if you guys have merch.
We do.
You got to join the foundation,
okay.
My dude.
Yeah, man. It's all a club.
Well, once I get a raise, I'm happy to support the foundation.
This guy a raise guy. Come on,
I'm doing
man.
What I can around here.
J-Riff, come on.
Do you guys have workout, like, style gear?
All right. Listen, let's go back to the comedy show for a second. This is what
I'm sorry. I just have to defend myself. That's
bring
all
in
I'm
the
saying.
Morning. Yeah. Bring in the morning. So what's your material? What do you have?
I don't have
you
material,
the
bro.
You line about where you go do the drugs.
Dude, I do not have material. This
you
is what
not.
I'm
not
going to
get up there and wing it.
Yes, I am. I why not?
Both
I didn't know
shows sold out.
Both 7 and 10 p.m. have been sold out, you know, adding that extra layer. I saw that they held a Black Sabbath cover band during the week. And they had like 400 people there. So I'm like, oh. So I'm assuming it's going to be anywhere from like 250 people to like 500 people just hanging out there at 7. And I'm going to be the first weenie to go out and try to like, you know, make sure everyone is okay. And then on the second one at 10 p.m., everyone's going to be on a super sick one, which means, you know, a little bit under the influence, you know?
Yeah.
The 10 one's going to be gnarly. So I feel like I have to match the energy.
That could be hairy.
Yeah.
10 o'clock one. That could
I have no material, bro.
You have nothing.
Zero.
But how long do you have to get up and go?
I want to say it's like from 5 to 10 minutes. 10 is already stretching it. 10 is redlining it. So my meat, I'm barreling up at 5 to 7 minutes. And that's it. That's a wrap. But hey, I opened a brewery. I don't know what the heck I was doing. Open the bar. I don't know what the heck I was doing. Podcast? Pff, I barely speak English, fool. Like, I seem to have pulled that one off, you know? So, I mean, the comedy show, just another little feather in the cap. Let's see what happens. My mom is going, bro.
Oh, boy. My gosh.
I can't say nasty things because my mom's going to be there.
See, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. You can be very successful as a podcaster, as a brewer. business owner, you have to, the content's for your mom.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate judge, and that's who you're trying to impress.
As soon as my mom signed up for the Emo Brown Social Club, I was like,
You let her do that?
I was like, and I was like, you listen to this? She's like, your father and I listen to it. Some of the things you say about us are hurtful. And I'm like, oh, man. So, yeah, it's.
Request that she sit in the back so you don't have to see the disappointing and disapproving look of mom?
You don't request Mexican moms to do anything, my man. They're going to do as they wish, and you just kind of hold on and hold on tight, man.
So sold out, so we can't give away tickets.
Sold on. Yeah, it's sold out. I mean,
can you get me on the list?
I can get you on the list. Easy. Okay. I mean, I don't know where the list is, but I'm pretty sure I can write it.
Hey, if you're one of the most powerful people in South
Bay. Are you down to go to Barrio Logan?
Will I be the only... I'll be the top white.
You'll be the top tier white there.
Will I be the only white?
I mean, there's probably going to be five or less. I'm pretty sure a booking agent might be there. A lawyer might be there. You know, so I don't know. You're going to be in a small circle. But by all means, man, if you're down to go, I'll put your name on there.
Well, as you know, my Spanish it needs a lot of work. But I enjoy the podcast, even though I didn't understand a lot of it.
We provide a community service.
I laughed at the right time.
Yes.
Well. I said, if it's funny for all of them, I'm sure it's kind of funny. So I'm just going to laugh by myself in my car.
Emo Brown's a lot like Ingles Sin Barreras in reverse, where we teach, you know, the whites to speak and understand a little bit of Spanish. So keep tuning in to the Emo Brown podcast. And we're out here doing a community service for all of our, you know, our white friends.
All right. Well, we appreciate that as well. As the top tier white, I vouch for this entire service and operation. All right. We have one segment to go. I do want to just tease something up when we come back. So stay tuned. I don't know how this is going to land with Steve. I know where it's going to land with Marty. That's coming up next, our final segment of the day. Before we get you to the NCAA tournament at the top of the hour. All right, final couple of minutes here. NCAA tournament coming up at the top of the hour. Steve Garcia's in studio. Emo Brown Foundation, Emo Brown Podcast. Doing great things, doing good in their hood in South Bay. Hope you'll join us on a Sunday bike ride. So I'm putting everybody in a weird position here because I haven't informed anybody what I'm about to bring up. So last you were in studio, we went down to 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista. They were unveiling the mural for Alejandro Guido. It's great, wasn't it? Right there. What else? What other murals are right there?
We've got a plethora of murals.
Okay, so there's Manny Machado
who's
there.
Manny Machado. You got a little bit of Mario Lopez at
Boom. Let's stop right there. Mario Lopez from Chula Vista.
Really?
Are we doing this?
Marty, do Chula Vistans claim Mario Lopez?
You're asking me.
I'm asking Steve first and then Marty's retort.
Okay.
I'd like to hear Marty's. I mean,
Marty hates him.
All right. I mean,
I do. But I do.
The question is, do we love Mario Lopez? No. The question was not that. No, wait. Rather, the question was, is he from Chula Vista? Yes.
Yes.
He's from Chula Vista.
But, okay. Right.
Yes, he is from Chula Vista.
I'm not trying to argue. I know he is, but I'm saying, like, when you think, yes, San Diegan, Mario Lopez. No. Mario Lopez is from Chula Vista.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a wrap.
That's it. And we're done.
Yeah. Marty hates him because he's a Dodger fan.
I do not hate him. Because he's a Dodger fan? I don't like him because he's a Dodger fan.
Chula Vista High School.
Chula Vista High School.
He's a Spartan,
I'm just saying,
man.
Like, dude, he as a guy who's from San Diego, he should know better. Like who you like, but he just, man, he just...
I got to be a little bit diplomatic about this.
I know you do.
Because I'm truly trying to get him to come on the podcast, and we had some feelers out. So if I come out and say, I do not like Mario Lopez, but I do. I know, cut that one.
Okay, I don't like your Dodgers fandom. So you get them on your podcast saying, listen,
dude.
I'm going to go ahead and convince you to be a Padre. Come on my podcast. I will explain to you why.
Marty, you're coming on when Mario Lopez is on. You are coming on.
Here's what I've heard. People are less annoyed in Chula Vista that Mario Lopez is a Dodger fan than maybe he misrepresented his upbringing.
And he's a he's a LA Chargers fan. And here's the thing. Here's the number key. I'm not even done yet. He openly rooted against the Padres in the postseason. You can like the Dodgers, be a little bit diplomatic to your hometown fans. That's all I'm saying, man.
I feel you. I don't think I would have burritos or tacos with him and talk friendly about it, but it's still Mario Lopez. I've only heard him on one interview rep Chula Vista hard.
He probably thinks LA has better craft beer, that guy.
Oh, you're cutting deep now. I did. And I did watch one little snippet of him representing his elementary school, which is the same elementary school that my kids go to.
Oh,
so as soon as it did that, I was like, maybe I've got my guy all wrong. Maybe I've got Mario. Maybe I got Slater all wrong.
Get your kids at the wrong school.
Yeah, right.
Let's continue this conversation on 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista. We'll see you down there. Steve Garcia, thank you very much. Promote what you want to promote real quick. How do people find you on social media?
Oh, finding us on social media is at the number 3 Punk Ales on Instagram, the Emo Brown on Instagram. Follow us there and stay abreast of all things awesome in the South Bay.
And thank you for the Crowlers of Flama Blanca.
There it is.
To be continued. Thank you, buddy. See you later.